Jimmy. They were soon joined by thousands of Filipino civilians fleeing the invaders. In 2 weeks, everyone's food ration was cut in half. In February, they were reduced to 1,000 calories per day, mostly from rice. They got a little tough meat from the slaughter of starving horses and mules. Defeat inevitable. MacArthur and other top brass were evacuated to the safety of Australia, while the Japanese continued to pound the Bataan Peninsula. In April, the Japanese ground troops moved down to take over. On the 8th, General Wainwright concentrated all his viable forces for a last-ditch effort on Corregidor, and on the 19th formally surrendered the starvelings left behind on Bataan. The changeling had watched this all with interest. It had been killed twice by bombs, but in the chaos it was easy to reassemble at night and show up as a lucky survivor. It had mimicked the weight loss of the men around it, Jimmy going from a healthy 180 pounds to a haggard 130. When they heard about the surrender, some of the men decided to chance it and try to swim across 2 miles of shark-infested water to Corregidor. The changeling could have done that with ease, of course, temporarily becoming one of the infesting sharks, but decided against it. Corregidor was doomed too. Why bother? His friend, Hugh, who had been with him since boot camp, told Jimmy that he was tempted to swim even though he knew he wouldn't make it. He couldn't swim 2 miles even if he were in good shape, and the water a placid swimming pool. "I got a feeling," he said, "that drowning ain't nothing compared to what the fucking Japs are gonna do to us." That would turn out to be true for almost everyone but the changeling. They were about to begin a forced march from Bataan to a concentration camp some 2 weeks away, under broiling sun without food or water. The orders that the Japanese had been given in Manila said any American captive who was unable to continue marching all the way to the concentration camp should be put to death, and they might be the lucky ones. The changeling and Hugh and a dozen others were in a communications shack when the Japanese came. 5 young soldiers with bayoneted rifles crowded into the small room and started screaming. They got louder and angrier, and the changeling realized that they expected their captives to speak Japanese. What else didn't they know? By gestures, they got across the idea that the men were supposed to take off their clothes. One was too slow, and a soldier prodded him in the buttock with the bayonet, which caused an unusual amount of blood and hysterical laughter.
"Oh my God," Hugh whispered. "They're going to kill us all."
"Try to stay calm," the changeling said without opening its mouth. "They'll go after people who draw attention to themselves, as drill sergeants did." They rummaged through the pile of clothing, and one of them found a Japanese coin. He held it up and started screaming at a man.
"That ain't mine," he said. "They told us to get rid of all that shit."
A soldier behind him clubbed him with his rifle butt at the base of the skull, and he went down like a tree. The soldier clubbed him twice more, but stopped at a sharp command. The one who seemed to be in charge screamed at the captives, repeatedly gesturing at their fallen comrade, who was bleeding from both ears and twitching. Then they left, as suddenly as they'd appeared. A man kneeled by his friend and gently turned him over. Only the whites of his eyes showed. He drooled saliva and blood and something like water. "Cerebrospinal fluid," the changeling said.
"He gonna die?"
"It's very serious." The changeling sorted through the pile and found its fatigues and put them on. "Better get dressed," it said to the man holding his friend. "We want to all look the same to them."
"Jimmy's right,"
Hugh said, finding his own clothes.
"They probably gonna kill us all, but I ain't gonna go first."
While they were dressing, a new Japanese soldier stepped into the doorway. He had a clean uniform and no rifle. He pointed at the naked man on the floor.
"Bury him,"
he said in English.
"He ain't dead,"
his friend protested.
"Oh."
The officer unsnapped a holster and pulled out a Nambu pistol. He bent over and put the muzzle in the man's mouth and fired. The noise was loud in the small room. Blood and brains and chips of bone scattered across the concrete floor.
"Bury him now."
He holstered the pistol and walked out. The man who had been holding his friend started after the officer. 2 others tried to restrain him,